Today she is Masechta Bei Daf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Dalam Bei's, three lines from the bottom, Itma Shnei Yom Tem Shrosh Hashanah. In our previous shir, we discussed the concept of Sveika the Yoimer. We discussed the concept of Yontif Sheni Shagolius, that we in Chutz Laretz keep 2 days Yontif. There's one Yontif, however, in the Jewish calendar that everybody keeps 2 days, and that's Rosh Hashanah. The difference between Rosh Hashanah and everywhere else is because, and all the other Yom Tovim, is because Rosh Hashanah is on the beginning of the month, on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And even with the systems that we described in the previous year of how they notify people in outside of Yerushalayim that when Rosh Chodesh was declared, that is difficult to accomplish by Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month. Not only is Rosh Hashanah different, that it's the first day of the month, as we know, originally the way they were Mekadosh the Chodesh, the way they declared the new month, is by Edom coming to Beis Din, saying that they saw the new month. The Beis Din would interrogate those Edom, and if Beis Din felt that based on what the Edom said, the month, it should be Rosh Chodesh, they declared Rosh Chodesh. Now, as we also have said a number of times over the last couple of Shurim, a Jewish month could be either 29 or 30 days long. So if the Edom are coming today on day 29, and they're saying that they saw the new month, they could come on any time during the day. As we're going to even discuss, they could come maybe sometimes a couple of days later, and Beis Din will retroactively say it's Rosh Chodesh. But they certainly don't have to come at the beginning of the night. They could come during the day. So when the day that could potentially be the first day of the month of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah, everybody started keeping that day as Rosh Hashanah under the assumption or the possibility that Edom may show up. And sometimes Edom came later in the day. And what happened if Edom came later in the day? Then, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, they said that we're not going to keep that day as Rosh Hashanah. We're only going to make the next day in Rosh Hashanah. And that day, they already have to keep as Rosh Hashanah. And that's how we began having 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And the question that needs to be discussed, are the 2 days considered Kedusha Achas, one long day, or are they considered two Kedushas? Because even though, as we said in our previous year, when we have 2 days Yontif in Chutz Laretz, we consider them Shtei Kedushas, we consider them two separate Kedushas, the question that needs to be discussed is how do we look at this when we speak about in Eretz Yisrael, how do we look at this when we speak about Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara, Itma Shnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, both of the opinion, the Nol de Bezu Asur Bezeh, that if an egg was born on one day of Rosh, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, there everybody would agree that the second day of Rosh Hashanah is considered an extension of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And since it's considered an extension of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, whatever's the halacha on the first day, as we've been learning from the beginning of the parak, the Beis Hillel said that a bay that's nulled on Yontav is Asur, it will continue into the next day. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Aflamaram Beis teaches us. Rishonah, originally, Hayimakam Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYoim. The entire day of the 30th of Elul, Eidim were accepted. And therefore, if they came even towards the end of the day, they were accepted. If they saw the new moon and they were interrogated and accepted. And that day was declared to be Rosh Hashanah. And because, as we said, of that possibility, from the night before when that day may be Rosh Hashanah, everybody started keeping that day as Rosh Hashanah. But says the Gemara, Pamachas Nishta Edom Lovay, and 1 year, the Edom who came to say that they saw the new moon got delayed. And they only came towards the end of the day. and it's Kalka Levim Bashir. And the simplest pshat, the way to learn the Gemara, is we know that every day there are two Karban Tumids. There's a Karban Tumid Shel Shachar, and there's a Karban Tumid Shel Bein Abayim. Every year on Rosh Hashanah, by the Tumid Shel Shachar, they sang the Shir Shel Yoyim. They sang the Shir of that day, of the week. By the Tumid Shel Bein Abayim, they would sing a special song of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah had its own shir. And when that would and they by Tumid Shel Bein Abayim, which usually by then they knew if that day was Rosh Chodesh or not, Rosh Hashanah or not, they sang the song of Rosh Hashanah. But one year the Edom came so late, they didn't know that they didn't assume that the Edom would still come. Since they did not assume that the Edom would still come, they treated that day as it was a weekday, and they sang the Shir of the weekday. Afterwards, the Edom came, and it turned out that they said the wrong Shira by the Tumid Shel Bein Abayim. It's interesting to point out that Tosfos asks, why is our Gemara focused that they said the wrong Shira by the Tumid Shel Bein Abayim? The halacha is that a carbon tumid is supposed to be the first carbon that's brought every morning and the last carbon that's brought every day. Allah hashlim kabanis kulam. The last carbon that's brought every day is the carbon tumid. So as we're learning now, this day, since the Edom had not yet come, was being treated as a weekday. They not only said the shira of the weekday by that Tumid Shel Bein Abayim, but once they brought the Tumid Shel Bein Abayim, they could not bring the Karban Musaf. And if now the Edom came, and we accepted the Edom with their testimony that it's still Rosh Hashanah, so we have Rosh Hashanah without the Karban Musaf. So Tosfos asks, the Gemara should have focused on that issue. So Tosfos says, the first teretz, that even though, as we just said, the halacha is, Olei Hashleim Kol Karbanos Kulam, that the last Karban that should be brought every day is the carbon tamid, but the evid, if you could bring carbonus after the carbon tamid. And that's what they had to do that year. Moreover, Tosfos, the obligation to bring a carbon tamid every day is an essay de rabbim. It's an essay that applies to the tzibur. The chiyuv, the rule that nothing should be brought after the tamid shel bein abayim, is an essay de yochid. It's for the Kayan who's bringing the carbon. And the essay of the Rabbim is stronger than the essay of the Yachid. And therefore, you're allowed to bring the carbon Musaf after the carbon Tamu was brought. Another Teretz that he says, that he wants to suggest, but he doesn't agree, but others do say this Teretz, is that when they brought the carbon Tamid, they made it tonight. They made the following condition. And they said, if today indeed turns out not to be Rosh Hashanah, so this should be the Tumid Shel Bein Abayim. If, however, today turns out to be Rosh Hashanah, then this carbon that we're bringing now should be the carbon Musaf, and we'll bring a carbon Tumid later in the day. Another pshat that the Achronim, that the Turi Ovin suggests, is that Chazal were much more concerned about the Shir Shel Yoyim that was not said properly versus the Karban Musaf. And he explains as follows. The Karban Musaf is a Karban that was brought in the Azor and the Beis HaMikdash that only the Kohanim who were involved in bringing the Karban knew if it was brought, if it wasn't brought. The Shir Shel Yoyim was, however, brought with much fanfare and publicity and singing, and we learned at the end of Masechta Sukkah, perhaps even musical accompaniment, if Ikashir Bekeli, and that was something that was much more noticeable when it was done wrong. Another pshat that the Turi Evan suggests is the obligation of the Shir Shel Yoyim is only a Derabbanan. The obligation of the Karban Musaf is a Deraisa. And we have often in Shas a rule, Chacham Osu Chizluk Devreyem Yoyis Mishal Torah. Chazal were more concerned about the Derabbanans than the Deraisas. And the reason is because people did not take the Rabbanans with the same seriousness they took the Raisas. And that's why they were much more concerned about the Tumid about the shira than the carbon tamid that was brought in the wrong time. So because of this problem, they made up a rule. Hiskinu, shleimekabel es edim el adam mincha. Edim were only allowed to be accepted until mincha, and if they came after, if they came later in the day, noigin oisiyoyim kaddish, they keep that day kaddish on the macha kaddish. So Chazal right away made up that if edim came after mincha, so even though Bezin knew that really the first day should be Rosh Hashanah, they made up that that day should be, they left it that the next day was Rosh Hashanah. They made Rosh Hashanah on the second day. On day 31 should be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And Rosh Hashanah was a one long yontif. So that's what, so if they came, that's why we had originally the 2 days of yontif as one long kedusha. And that's why the way we began today's shir, the Bayah Shanol de Bazu, Asura Bazu, that one that Edom that's brought one day, we are able to, that it, since it's one Kedusha, it's pushed off. Of course, the question is, if Edom really showed up on the first day, and Bezdin heard and saw those Edom, so now the question is, why could Bezdin manipulate and say, well, today's not going to be Rosh Hashanah. Today's not going to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. We'll pull it off to the next day. And the Pnei Yeshua makes the point. He says, as we learned in Masechet Sukkah as well, Bezdin is the ultimate decider when Rosh Chodesh is, when the Yom Tovim are. And the Pasuk says, Asher Tikra Ayatem, Atem Afilu Shogigim, Atem Afilu Mezedim. Bezdin has the right to manipulate the calendar if they see so fit. And that's why we learned the Masechta Sukkah, that Bezdin manipulates the calendar, that a Shana Rabbah should never fall on a Shabbos, and that Yom Kippur should never fall on a Sunday. So because Bezdin has the right to manipulate, similarly in this case, they will manipulate that if the Edom came late in the day, we don't take that day, but we still keep that day Kodesh. But says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Mitakanas Rabbi Yochim and Zaka Veilach, after Rabbi Yochim and Zaka came, then the halacha will be Beya, an egg that was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah Muteris, would be Mutu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Tanakh, because the Mishnah says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there's no more concern about Kilkul Ashir, there's no more concern that the Eidim will come and they're going to sing the wrong Shira. Unfortunately, there's no longer Beis HaMikdash to have that concern about. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shem Mekabel Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYom. They set up that we could keep the Eidus HaChodesh all day of the 30th day from Elul. And therefore, at that point, there's no rule for the 2 day Rosh Chodesh. And since there's no 2 day Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we keep Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah is a 1 day Yontif. And even in the places where Rosh Hashanah is kept as 2 days, the places where they couldn't get the message that when Rosh Hashanah was, they're keeping it only because as we keep 2 days of Yontif, at least the original Takana, because of Sveika the Yoima. And therefore, in those places, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two separate Kedushas. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, V'ra'av Shmuel Dam Tavayu, Be'ya Sura B'Shena. That bay that's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and we don't say that they're considered two separate kedushas. Amalei, so Rabbi responds to Abaye, Amina loch anor Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I brought you a raya that this is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai clearly held. Va'at amritli Rav Shmuel, and you're going to tell me that Rav and Shmuel held differently. Rav and Shmuel don't have a right, can't argue on a Tana. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Tana, and they were Maroim. Asked the Gemara, the Rav Shmuel, but according to Rav Shmuel, that told that the egg that was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Asked the Gemara, but how are we going to understand what the Gemara Masnisen that says that according to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, we accept Edom all day. We accept Edom all day. Why should they be considered Kedusha Achas? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Halon v'alahu. Rashi says, Halon, people in Chutz Laretz, they always had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And by them, it never changed. And therefore, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered one Kedusha. And since the people in Rosh Hashanah and Chutz Laretz, their rule never changed, their rule that they're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah never changed, the rule that it's considered Yom HaRichta, that it's one long Kedusha, also never changed. The Gemara here is speaking about Chutz Laretz. In Eretz Yisrael, there were different periods. First, there was the phase that we're learning about in our Gemara, that they kept one long day because they didn't take Edom after Mincha. And then there was a new phase where they did take Edom, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, later in the day. And since they were able to take Edom later in the day, they kept, even if they had a year when they had 2 days Rosh Hashanah, they were Shtei Kedushas. That's the way Rashi explains, that Halon for Halahu depends on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz. However, the Meiri says that here we are not to explain Halon v'Halahu of Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz. Yes, as we spoke in our previous shir, when we speak about all other Yom Tovim, so in all of Eretz Yisrael, they were able to notify Yom Tovim, Pesach, Sukkot are by the 15th of the month, Yom Kippur is the 10th of the month. They were able to notify people when Yontif was, and they were able to keep the right day Yontif. Whereas Rosh Hashanah, as we explained, is always the first day of the month of Tishrei. So here, if even we're going to rely on a notification system, that notification system can't work only in Yerushalayim, the people who lived next to the Beis Din. But anybody who didn't live right next to the Beis Din, there was no way of notifying them when Rosh Hashanah was. And therefore, the definition of Halon v'Halahu here is we look at the people in Yerushalayim versus the people in the rest of the world. In Yerushalayim, after the time of Yochanan ben Zakkai, it becomes two Kedushas, and everywhere else outside of Yerushalayim, it remains as one Kedusha. Rav Yosef Emma, af mitakonis Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai v'leilach, even after Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made the rule that we take Edom after the Mincha all day, because it doesn't affect the Shira and the Beis HaMikdash, because it was after the Churban, there was no longer any Shira. Af mitakonis Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai v'leilach, Be'ya Asura, the Be'ya that's born on the first day Yontif is also on the second day Yontif. My Tama, why? We just gave an explanation that why things should change after the Churban, certainly in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, because it have a Dovish B'minyan. The original Beis Din made this rule, and the rule is, the Kol Dovish B'minyan, anything that a Beis Din sets up, the halacha is, Ein Beis Din, Kol Dovish B'minyan, Tzarech Minyan Achal Atiroi. Only another Beis Din could undo it. And if not, the halacha is, the rule remains the rule. The pshat that I always like to quote, why? If Beis Din made a rule, and the rule was made because of certain circumstances, and those circumstances change, shouldn't the rule fall away? So the Mefarshim explained that every rule that Chazal established, even though, as we're learning Al Gemara, we see a reason for the rule, and therefore if the circumstances change, the rule should fall away. Every rule the Chazal instituted, there are many, many rules, there are many other reasons that we don't know why they established them. And therefore, even though we would assume that the rules should fall away, we have no right to make that assumption, and only a Beis Din only another Beis Din to be mevatalit. And not only could only a Beis Din be mevatalit, but the second Beis Din, according to most Rishonim, has to be a Beis Din that's Godel Menu B'Chochma B'Minyan. That it has to be a greater Beis Din. If the second Beis Din is not greater, even though it's a rule that it seems should the second Beis Din sees the reason to nullify the rule, they have no right to nullify it. However, there are exceptions. The one exception that's most common is if when the original rule was stated, it was stated that this rule will only be applicable as long as the reasons are applicable, or it was stated that a second bezdin has the right to be mevatalit, even if the second bezdin is not greater than the first bezdin. And we need to know that in halacha, there's never a case that the second bezdin is greater than the first bezdin. We believe that the generations, the later generations, are never greater than the earlier generations. But if when the original rule was made, it was said that the second bezdin, even if they won't be greater than the original bezdin, has the right to mevatalit, then they have the right to mevatalit. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Minoli. So we just learned a very important rule. The Ein Bezdin Yochel Vatal Divrei Bezdin Chaveroi. Where do we know this from? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Gemara will explain all of this, of course, Lech Emelahem Shuvu Lechem Lalechem. You may go back. V'Omer, and the Pasuk says further, that after the Shechina left Har Sinai, and the Gemara says, there's a brisa that teaches us, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Maaseh Sheni. We know that fruit that grows from a tree, the first 3 years is orlo. It's also b'hanoah. We may not eat it, we may not benefit from it. Fruit that grows on the fourth tree, especially grapes, are called Kerem Revai. And Kerem Revai is treated like Maaseh Sheni. It's supposed to be taken up to Yerushalayim and be eaten there, but or it could be redeemed. But says the Mishnah, Masechta Maaseh Sheni, Perakei Mishnah Beis, Kerem Revai Hayo Oil Yerushalayim. They used to take up the Kerem Revai to Yerushalayim, anywhere that's Mahalach Yom Echel Chol Tzad, V'zui Tchuma. Any Kerem Revai that grows within the perimeter of 1 day's travel to Yerushalayim must be actually taken up to Yerushalayim. You can't just redeem it. And explains, Akravas min adorim, Lord min amarev, v'yardim min amizrach. V'umma ula v'itei min rabba b'b'chan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, matam, why was this rule made up? Why can't we just redeem it? Matam, says the Gemara, k'dei la'ata shukei Yerushalayim v'peiris. They wanted to have the fruit, that the stores in Yerushalayim should have many fruits. And as I saw, they were particularly concerned by Kerem Revai. There's a machloikis, if Kerem Revai, if Revai only is on grapes or on fruit, but they were particularly concerned about grapes. But the question is, Kerem Revai can't just be sold. So we're saying that we want to bring the Kerem Revai to Yerushalayim in order that there should be plenty of grapes in the stores in Yerushalayim. But these grapes can't be found in the stores. These grapes have to be, these grapes can't be sold regular. They're Kerem Revai. So I saw that the Bartanur explains, if there's going to be so many grapes being brought because of Kerem Revai, so then there's no need, then there's going to be plenty, everybody's going to have plenty of grapes. And that will keep the price of grapes in check because there's an abundance of grapes that people are bringing their own grapes. But Tanya, the Brisa says, Kerem Revai Hoyler Revelezer B'Mizrach Lod B'Tzad Kfar Tavmi. Revelezer had a vineyard next to Lud, which was near Yerushalayim, and Ubikesh Lafkir Laniyim, and he wanted to make it Hefka for Aniyim, that they could eat them when they take it to Yerushalayim. It was a bother for him to take it all the way up to Yerushalayim, so he was mafkrit. Many Rishonim asked the question that the halacha is Hefka Laniyim ain't a Hefka, that somebody makes a Hefka only, that says something is ownerless, but that declaration should only apply to a certain segment of the population and a hefker. So how could he saying that's only hefker for aniyim? So many, the Torah Evan says that actually this subject of hefker aniyim have a hefker. If it's a hefker only for one group, is it hefker? Is machloikis b'sham b'salu? And b'shamai holds hefker aniyim have a hefker. If you make something hefker only for aniyim, it's a valid hefker. And Rebbe Lezer Shamuti was a Rebbe Lezer was a Talmud of Shammai, and he felt Beis Shammai, and he followed that opinion. Another pshat is that he made this declaration in front of Daniyim. Yes, anybody who would have heard it could have taken it, But he wanted to make it, he wanted only Anim to have it. So he tried to set it up in a way that that declaration was made only in front of the Anim, and therefore it will, that's why it will be acceptable. But the question is, why was he accomplishing it? They're going to have to pay for it anyway, and they're going to have to redeem it or pay for it. What did they accomplish? So they say that after the Beis Hamikdash was Charev, you could be paid even on a Shava Pruta, and therefore the Anim could be paid it without a big deal. So what happened was that Amalei Tamidav, so the Tamidim said to him, Kva Nimlu Alecha Chavarech V'Tirua. They changed the rule, and the rule that we have to bring the Ruvai to Yerushalayim was nullified. Says the Gemara, Man Chavarech Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, unfortunately, the Aliyah L'Regel was no longer in place after the Churban Abayis. So this concept that that we wanted to be an abundance of fruit in Yerushalayim was no longer relevant. Yet what do we see here? That the only reason they were able to nullify the rule was because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai established the Beis Din and nullified it. Without that, you can't nullify rules, even though the reason for the rule is no longer applicable. The Gemara asks, "My va'omer." Why? From where do we learn this? Why do we need more psukim? Says the Gemara, "Hachikamer." This is the way to understand. Mechtik siv, as a preparation for Kabbalah Satira, Moshe Rabbeinu told Klai Yisrael, "Hayin nuchanim shloisha shamim atik shula isha." Moshe Rabbeinu said, in preparation for Kabbalah Satira, everybody has to separate from their wives for 3 days before Kabbalah Satira. So now the question is, Lech Emelhem, Shuvalem Lalechem, after Kabbalah Satira, why was it necessary to tell them that they could go back and have relations with the wives? Lumeli, why was a need for that declaration? Kabbalah Satira is over, so there's no reason to separate from your wife. Shmamino, from here we see that Kol Davish of a Minyan, anything that was declared as a declaration, as a rule, even though the reason is no longer here, still Tzarech Minyan Lach Tirai. Continues the Gemara in explaining the Brice that Rabbi Yosef quoted. V'chitayman, if you'll suggest, L'mitzis Einahu Dasi. You can't bring a raya from that, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them is that there's a mitzvah for them to have relations with their wives. Not that he needed to tell them that they're allowed to have relations. Of course that they're allowed to have relations. The reason is no longer here, and once the reason is no longer here, it all falls away. So the Chidah makes a very interesting question. He says, there's a very famous Gemara Masechta Megillah, Dav Zayin Amabeis, that says, Kom Rava V'shachtel Rav Zera, that on Purim, Rabba got intoxicated, and he killed Rav Zera. And then afterwards, he did Tchiyas HaMeisim. And the question the Chidah, many Achroinim ask, did Rav Zera's wife, did Rav Zera have to remarry his wife? Because he was dead. And we know that when somebody passes away, their marriage terminates. So the question is, did he have to do a new Kedushin in his wife, or did it come back by itself? So the Ben Yoyada wants to say, we see from our Gemara an answer to that question. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shuvul Alem L'Aleichem. We know, says the Ben Yoyada, that B'shas Kabbalah Satira, when Klai Yisrael received the Torah, by every Dibur that they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Yotzon Neshmaseim Shal Yisrael, and they passed away, V'hoyer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tal V'echiesem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Tchiyas HaMeisem. So if they all passed away, how can we say Shuva L'Aleichem? They have to get remarried. From here we see that we need, that even if such a situation were to happen, you don't have to make a new Kedushin. The Chasam Sofer says, from our Gemara, we also can learn the concept of Ger Shenizgaya Katan Shenaladami. And the Meshech Chacham explains, we know that before Kabbalah Satira, the rules of relatives whom we may marry and whom we may not marry didn't apply. So presumably, says the Meshech Chachma, that by
Before Kabbalas HaTorah, there were many people who were married to relatives. So if there were many people that were married to relatives, how could the Pasuk say, as we're learning, Shuvalem L'Aleichem, go back to those wives? Those wives became usher to them, because after Kabbalas HaTorah, we're not allowed to be married to the relatives that the Torah says we're not allowed to marry. But, says the Meshech Chochmah, and that's what the Chassam Sofer means to say, that what happened at Kabbalas HaTorah was that we all became Gerim. In fact, the halachas of Gerus, of how a conversion takes place, are learned from Kabbalas HaTorah. Since they're learned from Kabbalas HaTorah, says the Meshech Chochmah, so everybody by Kabbalas HaTorah were Gerim. Gerishnes Gai Kachin Noladami were not technically considered relatives. And therefore, even though these women, the men, might have been relatives, then now Jews may not marry such relatives. Since they were all Gerim, there was no problem. So that's why the Gemara said, the Shuvah L'Olam L'Aleichem is not necessarily a proof that if a Beis Din made a rule, Tzarech Minyan Achal Atira, Toshma, the Pasuk says that when you'll hear the shofar, that the proof that the Shekhinah left Har Sinai, and everybody can go up on the mountain. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Ksiv. Before Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu made a declaration. That as long as there's the Shekhinah, nobody's allowed to approach Har Sinai. So the question has been, so it's obvious, as long as the Shekhinah is there, we're not allowed to approach Har Sinai. Once the Shekhinah leaves, we're allowed to approach Har Sinai. Why was there a necessity to make this statement that they could come up? The teacher, Shema Mino, Dovash Beminyan, Tzarech Minyan Achal HaTorah. Continues the Gemara, V'chi Teima, maybe where is that rule applicable? Hani Mili B'daraisa. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a statement, we have to follow that statement until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we no longer need to follow that statement. Avabud Rabbanan, as the subject that we're discussing today, Be'ah is the Rabbanan. Maybe there is no such rule. Toshma, from the case of the Kamravai, where they made a rule that everybody who lives within a certain distance of Yerushalayim have to bring the grapes to Yerushalayim. Now, this halacha of Kerem Ravai, that you must bring it to Yerushalayim, and you have no right to redeem it at home, is certainly a Din D'Rabbanan. And still, Kfar Karmele, and yet we find the Talmidim of Rabbi Eleza telling him, Kfar Nimno Alech V'chitiroa, that even though it was a D'Rabbanan, it needed to be expressly declared that it's no longer applicable. V'chitema, and if we'll say that Be'ah, that was born on the first day Yontif, on the second day Yontif, is a mutter or not, as we began today's shir, Be'ah Namni Ala Rabbi Yochim Azakir Sharyu, we'll say, so what did we say? We said that even though the reason that Chazal said that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are one long day, originally no longer is applicable because there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no concern as we began our shir today with Kilkol Aviyah Bashir, but we'll also say that they took a vote and they overturned the original rule that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah ought to be considered one Kedusha. Says the Gemara, Ki Imnu Aedus. They made the rule that they could take Aedus all day. Abayel Imnu, we don't find that they changed, that they overturned that rule. And that's why, says the Gemara, even though the reason for the rule ought not to apply, since there was such a rule, the rule remains, even though the reason fell away, because any rule that was established by Beis Din cannot be overturned unless there's a Beis Din that explicitly overturns it. Amar Abaya, Ata Be'ah B'Minyan Hava, was there ever an express rule that said that the Be'ah that's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? They never made a rule regarding, the rule wasn't stated regarding the Be'ah. Be'ah be'edus talya milsa. They said, originally they didn't take Edom all day Rosh Hashanah, then they changed the mind. It's Edus, as long as there's a rule that you don't take Edom in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah, and that's why we keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, it's a Be'ah. When Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai overturned that rule, and Ishtri Edus, and lets us accept Edom all day, first day Rosh Hashanah, comes along with it that Ishtri Be'ah. So there was no rule that needs to be overturned because there was no rule in the first place. The rule of Beya is not an independent rule. Rather, the rule of Beya is connected to Eidus. So when we're not taking Eidus in the afternoon, it's Kedusha Achas, and therefore the Beya will be Asur. And when they are taking Eidim all day, it's Shtei Kedushas. Says the Gemara of Adar, Rav Sham, Da Arvayu, B'mei Kaluchas, these two people who lived in Kaluchas, Amri, Af, Mitakonis, Rav Yochim, Zakai. Then even after Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai said that we take Edom, the whole first day of Rosh Hashanah, Bei Asura. They still, the halacha is the Bei that's nulled on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. My Tama, he says, Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Every Jew lives with the hope that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt immediately. V'yayimru, and if this year there was no Beis HaMikdash, last year there was no Beis HaMikdash, so as we're learning, they took Edom all day, and it's certainly two Kedushas. And because it's two Kedushas, Beya, the egg that was born on the first day Yontif, is Mutter on the second day Yontif. And people are going to say, Ishtakad last year, Milo Yechal Nebeya B'Yontif Sheni, that we ate the egg that was born on the first day Rosh Hashanah, on the second day Rosh Hashanah, because it's Shtei Kedushas, one day is Yontif, one day is weekday. And they're going to make the mistake and say that now, when the Beis HaMikdash is Baruch Hashem rebuilt, and the rule that we don't take Edom after Mincha time will kick back into place, and therefore the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah will be Kedush Achas, people will make the mistake, Hashta Nami Yadechel, V'layada Da'ashtakit Shtei Kedushas, saying, last year were we taking Edom all day, they're two separate Kedushas. Hashta Kedush Achasi. Says the Gemara Yehochi, if there is such a concern that we shouldn't make an error based on our experience of last year, so Eidus Nami loy in the Kabbal, that even after the Beis HaMikdash, even when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, we shouldn't accept Eidim on the first day Rosh Hashanah after Mincha, my Tama, for the same reason. Meheri Yibara Beis HaMikdash. We live with the hope and prayer, with the hope and prayer that the Beis HaMikdash will be soon rebuilt. V'yayimru shtakat, that last year we accepted Edom the whole day, and Hashta Nami Nekabel. But last year we accepted Edom the whole day because there was no Beis HaMikdash. Now there is a Beis HaMikdash, and we can't take Edom the whole day. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. Hasam, Edus Mesur LeBezdin. Where Edom accepted? In Bezdin. Bezdin obviously recognized the difference between when there's a Beis HaMikdash standing versus when there is no Beis HaMikdash standing. Beya lekamasur, eggs are eaten by everyone. Regular people, we have to be concerned, will make this mistake. Rav Amma, after tekanis of Yechim and Zakei, ve'elot beya sura. Loi maider, why? Me, loi maider of Yechim and Zakei, shabai edim in a mincha l'mala, that even if the edim come after mincha, and therefore the first day of Tishrei is day 30 of the month, still, Nahagim Oisir Kodesh, Lamacha Kodesh. Even though it's not Yontif, they keep the rule that the next day should be kept as Rosh Hashanah. Even though the rule that we don't take Edom afterwards is not applicable anymore, and we take Edom later on the day, we still kept both days as Rosh Hashanah. Because, not to make a mistake, and we're going to keep both days because people should make the error and say, well, last year we kept the whole day Rosh Hashanah, and then it turned out not to be Rosh Hashanah. And next year, they're going to be mezalzel, they won't treat the first day properly. And that's why they said we should keep both days Rosh Hashanah, and vice versa. There may be a year that there won't be Edom that come the first day, and they'll think the Edom did come the first day, and they won't treat the second day, which is the real Rosh Hashanah, properly. So they always, even if there was a difference when they, in different periods of our history, when we did accept Edom a whole day of the first day Rosh Hashanah, and when we don't accept Edom a whole day the first day Rosh Hashanah, that's only regarding the acceptance of Edom. But they always kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And by saying that they always kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah, what we are really saying was that the original Takana, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered Kedusha Achas, one long Kedusha, never stopped in our history. And since that never stopped in our history, if they're considered one long day, not that one day is really Rosh Hashanah and the other day is a Sreik de Yoma, that's why the halacha is Beya Shanol de Bazu, Asura Bazu. Any Beya that, even if we have a question on a regular Yontif, but or Yontif Shabbos, but Bey Yishanol de Bezu, Asur Bezu, any egg that's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And concludes the Gemara. Vama Rava, as we learned in yesterday's Shir, Helchska Vasei de Rabba Hani Talas, the Halacha is like Rav in these three Halachas, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. That the Halacha is that Shabbos for Yontif that follow one day and the other, the Halacha is like Rav, Bey Anol de Bezu, Asur Bezu. That the halacha is that Be'er Shanol de B'yontav Rishon Shel Rosh Hashanah, that the halacha is that an egg that was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Asur B'Sheni, is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We treat L'Chumra, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, as a Yom HaRichta, and because we treat the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as a Yom HaRichta, the halacha is that both days, the Be'er Shanol de B'zu, Asura Bazoo, that both days, the egg is Asur on both days.